Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today's guest is columnist from the Bay Area News Group, Carl Stewart. Carl, let's talk about the Giants lately, because things change quickly, it seems like, in Major League Baseball. One minute, you're on the brink of disaster. It seemed like the Giants were headed that way. They fell out of first place, and who knew about the wild card? And then, you know, you go and have a three-game series in Arizona where you sweep, and the Dodgers lose a couple games off their lead. Things look a little rosier right now, don't you think?
Yeah, a little better. I mean, they actually look like a team that's serious about contending for the at least a playoff berth and possibly even still the division. I mean, they, like you say, they peel a couple games off the Dodgers' lead, and the Dodgers still have quite a bit of road trip left. They have to go into Yankee Stadium for three games, and they have to go to Arizona for four before they get back home. And the Dodgers only have seven home games left, three of those against the Giants, and then they finish the season with six on the road, while the Giants have six at home to finish, including three against the Dodgers. So, you know, it still shapes up pretty well for the Giants when you look at it, but they have to play somewhere, they have to play well somewhere outside of Chase Field, and, you know, we'll see what happens when they get back home against, you know, against the Padres here. That's going to be a really big series the next 3 days. And then, of course, they've got the Cardinals next weekend, which could really solidify their wild card situation anyway. So it's a big week for them. And it's going to be a big final 20 games for them. I mean, but what you like to see is the fact that, one, they're pretty healthy, with the exception of Derek Law in the bullpen. And it seems like Hunter Pence has kicked in as kind of like that divining rod for them. I mean, he's hitting well, and he's providing emotion to a team that really needed some emotion.
We'll have more with Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's long there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, you know, just with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
Now let's get back to the conversation with Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group. You mentioned the bullpen, and you mentioned Law coming back, and there really is still this question mark hanging over the club in the last month of the season here about closing games, because Santiago Casilla, you know, blew another one, and that was kind of an interesting situation. I wanted to get into that one first of all with you, Carl, because Bruce Bochy made the statement right before that game the other day in Arizona that he was going to go more matchup, and then Lamb comes up, Jake Lamb, who just kills Casilla, and he lets Casilla face him, even though he could have gone to, you know, Will Smith in the bullpen at that point. He let him face him. Is that the end of that now? Is the trust factor pretty much gone with Casilla? And what do you think about Strickland as the closer, since he did close out the last game?
Well, I think with Bruce, I mean, his situation with Casilla, that goes back several years. I mean, he's put a lot of faith in that guy over, you know, going all the way back to 2010, and for the most part, Casilla has done the job, both as a setup man and as a closer. And, you know, he's had some failures, and I think in Bruce's mind that if he, you know, he got the first out of that inning and then Lamb comes up, and I think in his mind he's thinking, if I can get Casilla to get this guy out, I may have them strong for the rest of the year. And, of course, Lamb hits a home run, and, you know, that game goes completely crazy there. But he gave him one last chance, and he let him fail on his own as opposed to making that change beforehand. And I don't think even Castilla could argue it now. I mean, he's going to have to earn his way back into that role. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a closing situation, because really they don't have a lockdown closer on their roster. You know, Law's a rookie. He's a young guy. He obviously has closer material to work with, but, you know, he's coming off an injury. He'll be coming off an injury. I don't see Bruce putting him in that role. You know, Bruce is the kind of guy who's going to ride a hot hand. And so you got Strickland getting a save last night. I think you could see him in there until he stumbles. You could see Romo in that role. You could see Casilla back in that situation again.
What about Joe Nathan? You know, Nathan's got the experience. I mean, he may not have the same stuff as those other guys, although, you know, he's still throwing low 90s, and he's got the major experience.
Oh, sure. I think in the right situation, you could see him closing. I could even see Osich closing. I mean, in the right situation, say you've got two left-handers to finish a game. You know, Osich has closer stuff. If he could just harness his, you know, what he has. I mean, we had the issue with Strickland too, obviously, the last couple of years. But, you know, they have arms. They just don't know which guy is going to come through for them. They just don't have an Aroldis Chapman. They don't have a Jansen type guy who, you know, can just shut the door and they can feel pretty confident they'll do it. I mean, they're just going to have to roll the dice with the guy they put with the guy Bruce puts out there. And you know, historically, he's generally come up with the right guys. So the nice thing about it is, you know, if you get into the playoffs, you're probably going to have a lot of games where you're going to have to use a number of relievers, and they do have a number of guys who can get out, you know, in certain situations. So it seems like the closer spot is the one area where they're still a little unsteady. But, you know, if they can catch lightning in a bottle, maybe with Strickland, he could be the guy. So we'll see.
Do you think maybe sometimes we in the media or even fans make a little too much of the roles? I mean, I know players will tell you that, you know, they like to know their role, but, you know, look at Matt Cain. He's never been a reliever before, and he looked pretty good in that outing. Or a Ty Block, who's been a starter in the minor leagues, and they throw him in there for a couple innings, and he looked really good in his major league debut. You know, so here we are down the stretch of a season. Some guys are in some different roles than they normally would be in. Do you still think it's okay? I mean, you're a major league pitcher. You should be able to handle, you know, the different roles that are thrown at you.
Well, I would contend that, you know, like if we went back over all the games of the season, you looked at the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, that you're going to have as much fluctuation between the wins and losses as you do in the 9th inning. You just see it more clearly in the 9th inning.
Right.
The Giants have lost a lot of games in the 8th inning, the 7th inning, the 6th inning, and that's one of the reasons they've had trouble in the second half, is that, you know, for one thing, their offense hasn't been scoring enough and they have a little margin for error. So they've seen a lot of games. I've seen a lot of their games turn in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings. Obviously, we saw a lot of games turn in the 5th inning with Matt Cain and Jake Peavy. The guys just couldn't break through that barrier. And so I think from the 5th through the 9th inning, it's, if you went back and broke it all down, I think you'd see breakdowns in every one of those innings and it'd be pretty similar, you know. Which actually might be a pretty good study to do at this point of the season. I mean, Casilla's blown, what, six saves, eight saves? That's a lot, but they've won a couple of those games like they did on Friday night. So it's not like a blown save represents a loss. They have lost some games in pretty ugly walk-off fashion. And you just remember those things. You don't remember when the team, you know, blows a two-run lead in the 7th.
We'll have more with Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group right after this. If the hot summer has you thinking of ways to cool down, we have the best way to do it. How about a cool, refreshing dessert from Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward? Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. Made fresh daily on site, many of Rita's Italian ices include fresh fruit. Plus, they have frozen custard, custard cookie sandwiches, and custom frozen custard cakes. And Rita's of Hayward offers catering for all types of events. Mention the sports virus, and you will receive 1 free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward, celebrating their first year at 26775 Hayward Boulevard. Cool off today. What about the offense, though? I mean, you touched on it, and I think that if they continue to hit like they did in the Cubs series and a little bit of that Rocky series, they're not going to make the postseason. I mean, they still have to score some runs, and they started to turn on the Jets there in Arizona. You mentioned Hunter Pence. But team-wide, I mean, they just need everybody to get going. And, you know, Brandon Belt, so dormant most of the second half. Even Buster Posey, you know, he's not having his normal season. You know, especially the last month or so, a lot of guys were quiet with the bats. I mean, do they seem like they're on the verge of breaking out? And they're going to run into some tough pitching probably, you know, here the Cardinals, especially the Dodgers, you know, they're going to run into Kershaw a couple of times, even though he wasn't great his first time out off the DL. But they're going to run into him twice out of those 6 games against L.A.
I think it was pretty impressive that they beat Greinke yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
he could have stopped their run cold, and you know, it was a close game. They lost the lead. They came back and tied it, and then they added on when they got ahead 3-2 against their bullpen. So I think that was a pretty significant game. Now, they have to bring it back home. I mean, they have not played well at home in the second half, and they have to start developing their home mojo now, particularly with the game disparity at home compared to the Dodgers. I mean, if they can get it going at home and make it close, then you take it into those last 3 games against the Dodgers, where anything could happen if you're within 1 or 2 games, preferably 1. Maybe you're ahead. Maybe you're tied. I mean, if you're tied, you win 2 out of 3, you win the division. So it'll be interesting to see. And a couple guys are key. Belt, obviously, is a big key. And they hit that Arizona stop just at the right time because he always hits well there. I don't know what his career numbers are there, but I would guess that he's probably hitting over 300 at Chase Field, as are a lot of guys. That's one of the reasons the Giants were 9-1 there this year. It's been kind of like their home away from home. They actually hit better there than they hit anywhere else.
Right.
So maybe that'll give them a nice springboard coming back home against the Padres, where you know they're going to be facing some questionable pitching. You got to take advantage of that. I think one guy I would single out, and I think he's been doing a great job, is Angel Pagan. I don't think anybody expected this kind of season from him, even in a walk year. But you know, he's been consistently good, and I thought that the 10-pitch walk yesterday that he got against Greinke was maybe the biggest at-bat in that whole game. I mean, and he's, even though he's hitting second, he's been a good table setter for them. And he's swinging the bat well. And, you know, he's another one of the guys on that team, in addition to Pence, who can provide a little bit of fire. And if he has a good homestand, I would think that the offense might have a good homestand. Of course, they obviously have to get Span going, too, and look like he figured a few things out in Arizona, hit a home run, and, he's got to get on base for them. He's been the leadoff guy all year, but it wouldn't surprise me if he continues to struggle that Christian moves Pagan up into that spot.
More with Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast? Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
I'm glad you mentioned Pagan because he just seems so clutch, and he doesn't seem like the guy that worries if he's in a little bit of a slide. Where, you know, I'm not going to, you know, point at certain players, but it just seems like team-wide, when the losses were piling up and the batting averages are sinking, you do start to put more pressure on yourself. I don't care, you know, if a player admits that. It just seems like there are certain players that are starting to press a little bit, but I don't get that feeling with Pagan. Do you? And do you feel like maybe the Giants hitters were pressing a little?
Oh, yeah, there's no question they were. I mean, especially when everybody was going bad, you know, when everybody was going bad, Crawford was going good. I think Crawford put a lot of pressure on himself to, you know, carry the team. And I don't think he's that type of guy. And, you know, he got in a little bit of a funk, and I think he's still in a little bit of a funk. If he comes out of it, that could be good news for the Giants. Panic the same way. I mean, Bruce moved up into the number three hole a couple times, and that didn't work out too well. He had a couple bad games where he hit into double plays. But if you get two or three guys going, then it leaves the pressure on everybody. And it doesn't hurt that you get some contributions off the bench. I thought the hit that Tomlinson had in the Friday night game was just incredibly huge. I mean, he just kind of, you know, it was like a chemist's lob up the middle. It was a base hit, but it scored an important run. And, you know, I've always liked that guy. And he does good things in big situations. And, you know, I know there's not a place for him to start, but, you know, and Nunes is coming around a little bit at third base, hit the ball pretty well in Arizona. But I was thinking that if Nunes continued to tank, that, you know, I wouldn't have any problem with Tomlinson playing third every day.
I like him too. I mean, I like the short stroke he has. I like that he is a pretty good pinch hitter for a guy who hasn't been around that long. You know, he comes off the bench and it doesn't seem to really bother him. Plus, he has speed, which, you know, there's not that many guys on the roster that do. Nunez does, but, you know, it's really nice to have that element.
Right. And, you know, like I said, on that single, I mean, he knew exactly what was needed. He didn't have to hit the ball at the wall.
Right.
He just needed to get the ball through the infield, and he did that. And, you know, all the things I've heard about the way he played in Sacramento all season when he was, you know, after he came back from his injury, he was just a very consistent, smart player, dependable, both on the, you know, on defense and at the plate. And he's just a nice little player. He may not be a starting player on this team, but I think he's going to be critical over these final 20 games.
Now, to finish up, Carl, you know, I was just thinking about this, and there's been quite a bit of talk about how the rosters change in September, the strategy changes, and, you know, I think people have been complaining a little bit more about it in recent years. I mean, when you really think about it, Carl, the first, 5 months of the season, you have a certain way that games are played, then you have September, and then you have the postseason. There's three different ways that the game is played, because September, you have so many players on your roster. I mean, the Diamondbacks in that Friday game, I think they used 11 pitchers. So do you see that changing? I know that Commissioner Manfred has talked about trying to speed the game up, and that's definitely going to slow the game down. It just, I know the managers have all this strategy going with all these players. They're all eligible on a given night. Do you think maybe that'll change? Do you have a solution maybe to this?
You know, I don't personally have a problem with a three-hour game. I have a problem with the 3:40 game.
Right.
And some of those games do get into that type of material. I'm not sure there's an easy way to solve it. They've tried, you know, things like the pitch clock and make sure guys get in the box and stuff like that, but you know, they take a 2-minute break in between each inning, and it's, you know, that's to make money for commercials and stuff like that. And they didn't used to do that in the old days. You know, they just ran right back out on the field and started playing. I mean, I think the real key is speeding up the pitchers to pitch, because you've seen examples of a guy who works fast, the games go fast. I mean, the guys who come to mind right off the bat for me would be a guy like Mark Mulder. I mean, he never had a game, rarely had a game over two hours and 30 minutes, because he worked fast.
And he worked deep into the game probably too. That's the thing. I mean, if you got relievers coming in from the sixth inning on and you're using multiple relievers in each inning, that's taking up a lot of time.
Yeah, and the relievers really slow the game down primarily because, you know, they often have guys on base. And when guys are on base, pitchers slow down. So, you know, I think Johnny Cueto works very fast until he gets guys on base, and then it slows down. But I think that's, if you're ever going to speed up baseball, you got to get the pitchers working faster, and you got to get the guys in the box. And, you know, throw the pitch, throw it back, and get ready and pitch again. I mean, you watch the films of the old days. They didn't mess around in between pitches. I mean,
no.
It was a fast game. And I think that's the only way you're going to speed it up, is to get the pitchers working faster.
All right, Carl, that's a good suggestion. We'll have to talk to them about that soon. Appreciate the time. Hope to see you at the ballpark later on during this homestand, and it should be a pretty good ride here to the end of September.
Yeah, well, that's what we hope for. It's an exciting final 2 weeks, and looks like we've got that.
That's Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group. Coming up on Thursday, we'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco, where we will podcast before the Giants-Cardinals game. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on the sportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.